Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Acts chapter 2, the entire chapter. Acts chapter 2. Let us first sing from Psalter 369, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How pleasant and how good it is when brethren in the Lord in one another's joy delight and dwell in sweet accord. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 369.
Congregation, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our tongue, wherein we are born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, in Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel now assuredly, that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
We We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family who has stood at the open grave in this past week. Mrs. Harry DePuter, who is still in the Lethbridge Hospital and is somewhat improving. And Mr. Scott Vandenberg, who was in the hospital this week and was privileged to return home once again. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who dwellest in the heavens, and to whom Thy Son has ascended, to sit at Thy right hand of power, and who has shed forth that which we have heard together in these moments, the pouring forth of Thy Holy Spirit, when the work of that blessed Mediator was accomplished here upon this world, when that price that was completely paid, and when all things were accomplished for the deliverance of Thy Church, so that He could say, "It is finished." And when Thou hast also given testimony thereof, when Thou hast raised Him from the dead, and when Thou hast also received Him unto that high and holy place, wherein now He may be with our nature, that human nature which Thou hast created, so that in heaven our nature abides with Thee. And now that whole world that still lay in wickedness, but Thou, because of that finished work, would send forth Thy Holy Spirit, to give the application thereof in the midst of this sin-cursed world. And we have heard that Thou didst add unto the church daily such as should be saved. Lord, Thou knowest who that should be saved, for Thou hast chosen them from a never-begun eternity as an act of Thy sovereignty. When Thou hast also reprobated others, so that there is no man that is able to overturn Thy will. For Thou sayest, "I am God." Oh, that we may be given in this morning hour a place to supplicate unto Thee. For Thou knowest our state and condition by nature. Oh, then we lie dead in sins and in trespasses, and there is on our side no ability. Oh, we beseech Thee, Thou who hast finished the work, wilt Thou look upon us and our children when we lie polluted in our own blood, and when from our side each and every one deserves to be cut off and to be cast away from Thee. But Thou hast chosen a people from all eternity to be a church, a people unto Thyself. And Thou wilt bring them under Thy word. Thou wilt bring Thy word unto them, that it may be effectual. But then it is necessary that Thy Spirit come, because else that word that will only testify against us. Oh, that that need, that that desire may be born within our hearts, that we also may be included in that number, that thou hast chosen from all eternity such as should be saved. Oh, that we also may be added unto that church. O Lord, wilt thou grant us then an earnestness in our heart in this morning hour? And may it be in a special way when we may commemorate the pouring forth of thy Holy Spirit. For we are lying in ourselves so cold and so miserable, so dead, and that we have nothing that goes out after thee. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou would come, that thou wouldst look upon us even from thy holy place, that thou would send forth in this day also, as thou hast promised, thy Holy Spirit even unto the end of the world, as thou hast said it unto thy disciples. That thou wouldst not forsake us when the ends of the world are come upon us, and when Satan's devices are only increasing, and when his power that is felt more and more, when Satan is more and more let loose upon the world, to draw us and our children after him, then his desire is to take us to be with him into that eternal and bottomless pit. O Lord, we beseech thee while we are still in a day of grace, that thou wouldst come and show thy power. O thou who art able to cast out Satan, thou who hast shown thy power over death, thou who hast shown thy victory, oh, could it please thee to look upon us also in this day? Oh, that we may be also able to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, could it please thee to raise up new ones out of the grave? Oh, that that miracle that thou hast performed on that day of Pentecost may also be experienced in a little measure among us. For thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then there is no power from our side, but all power is upon thy side. And when thou would speak only one word, and then at the same moment thy Spirit shall be sent forth to us and to our children. O Lord, is it not even the means which thou hast given unto us, that we may still use in our midst, that we may gather round about thy holy word, and then we must confess unto thee that we do not as we ought to lay in prayer and in supplication. Oh, then we must confess to thee that our hearts are so drawn unto this evil world, and that there is nothing good in us, and that there is no reason in us for that thou shouldest look upon us. But we beseech thee for the sake of thine only begotten Son, in whom thou, to whom thou hast promised an inheritance, a seed that should serve thee. Oh, we cannot serve thee except thou wouldst begin. Lord, do it to us and to our dear children this day. Oh, may thou give also an instruction among thy people, for we can read it also of that day, that thou didst so instruct thy church, and that thou gavest power unto thy servants to speak, that thou gavest ears to hear. Oh, that thou didst teach in the knowledge of sin, but that thou didst also open that way in thine only begotten Son. Oh, that thou wouldst look on us also with our children, that these blessings that we read of in thy holy word day by day, and that they also may be experienced, O work the need therefore in the hearts of young and old. Do look upon all thy children. O give thy church also to know what that means, to experience the pouring out of thy Holy Spirit. Then thou dost lead thy people step by step. And thou knowest how poor that it is in the days in which we live. Oh, that thou may remember them also in this day, to lead them further into all thy truth, that they may receive the comfort thereof, that the assurance may live within their heart to thy honor and to thy glory. Oh, give us then ears to hear and hearts to understand. Look upon all that are not able to be with us. Lord, thou knowest also where they are this day. Wilt thou supply for those that are sick and weak and afflicted, her that lies in the hospital? Wilt thou continue to give unto her strength and healing in her body, that she may return home once again? Wilt thou visit her with a blessing from above, that power from on high, even in this thy holy Sabbath day? Also him that may return home from the hospital. Lord, there was also a calling that came unto him and to his family. Wilt thou strengthen him further for the labors of his hands day by day? But may thou also bless this way unto him and unto his family together. Lord, remember also those that mourn. They have stood about an open grave. Oh, so suddenly wilt thou look upon them in thy mercy, the widow, the children, and all the loved ones, the family together. Oh, wilt thou cause our hearts to understand as congregations also, when these callings are coming unto us, oh, that the need may be wrought more and more, for that spirit of Pentecost, while it is still called today. Look upon the child also, and that continues to recover in her own home. Lord, then as she may be given a little recovery by thee, that she may even take those first steps once again. O Lord, that thou may remember her further, and wilt thou heal her, and wilt thou look upon her in the need also of her soul. Look upon each and every one that have needs known unto thee. Lord, the needs are many because of sin, and the consequences of sin, they are so great. But wilt thou give that we may cry out of our need unto thee, who art our creator, who art also our provider, and that a need for thee as our redeemer, and may thus be wrought. Wilt thou look upon thy church over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Thou knowest the needs of the mission field. Wilt thou supply for them? And wilt thou give not only what is necessary in an outward way, but could it be that thy spirit may dwell in that place and that thy favor may rest upon the labors of our hands? Wilt thou look upon all thy church, those also that are persecuted for the sake of thy name? Oh, send forth that spirit of Pentecost, and that it may go far and wide into this world, that kings and princes and rulers also may come to bow before thee, and that they may be brought to thy footstool. Look thou upon us in this morning hour. Lord, help us to bring thy word. Thou knowest that we have on our side also no power, but our hope that is upon thee. Oh, we ask it of thee in this morning, that thy power may be manifest, and that it may that thy spirit may go forth among us, from pew to pew and from heart to heart, and that thou may give us simplicity, that thou may give us the unction of thy spirit, understanding, that we may be able to bring forth things new and old out of thy law, a little strength for our weak body, and that we may be enabled to gather to say that thou hast been in our midst. Do remember all those that listen by church telephone, those that are in their own homes, those that are in the nursing home also. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 49, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. At the ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. The Lax collection today is for the North American General Mission, Psalter 49, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That was, congregation, as we have heard last time, the word of Christ. That was the word of Christ to whom? That was to his disciples, whom he had called to that work of the ministry. And then he says to them that they have to do what? That they have to go forth? No. But he says to them first that they have to wait. They have to wait. And for what do they have to wait? They have to wait for power. Until ye be endued with power from on high. That must have been a great comfort to those disciples. When they were called to do that great work, but they did not have to go before that the Lord would qualify them. So that qualification that would follow that calling, and that they now could wait until that time that the Lord himself would come. Until ye be endued with power from on high. Thus they are waiting. We read that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were together in one place. And what were they doing in that place? Our children will know. There they were not just idle. We would say there they did not just have their arms crossed. No. But they were waiting in a different way. That is, as we have heard, in prayer and supplication. They did not know when that power was going to come. But they were gathered, and they were waiting, and they were asking for that power. Do you do the same? And how long have you been asking? And how long have you been praying? And how long have you been coming to the house of the Lord and saying, Lord, that I may experience something of that power? Do you know what we sometimes sing? Fear not, though succor be delayed, still wait for God. And he will hear. Why? Were the disciples put to shame? They certainly were not. Neither will one be put to shame. The Lord says that waits upon him. Congregation, in this morning hour, we wish with the Lord's help to consider something of this with you out of the words of our text and their context, which you can find in Acts 2. And the second verse, Acts 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So far the words of our text. The power of the Holy Spirit revealed on the day of Pentecost. First, the signs of this power. Second, a preaching in power. And third, the effect of this power. The power of the Holy Spirit revealed on the day of Pentecost. First, the signs of this power. Second, a preaching in power. And third, the effect of this power. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, thus the day of Pentecost, our children, they will know already what Pentecost is, because I think we say that every year again. Maybe then you can tell us, boys and girls, what that day of Pentecost was. Then you will say, well, that was a commemoration at that time. It was a commemoration of something that has happened a long time ago. That is, when the Lord had delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they were brought to Mount Sinai. And on that day, the Lord has instituted the children of Israel as a nation. That means that he has separated that people. And he has said to them, you are now my people. And that was by virtue of the deliverance of the Lord, because the Lord had brought them out of the land of Egypt. The Lord had showed them mercy. And when the Lord had showed them mercy, then the Lord has said, you are mine. You are separate. You are not as all the other nations of the world. And the Lord has therefore given the children of Israel his law. And he says, because you are now my people, you shall obey my law. What was that then? Was that out of the covenant of works? Or was that flowing out of the covenant of grace? Not of works, but of grace. Because that law that was given to them after the Lord had delivered them, after the Lord had showed mercy, and therefore that was not in order to their deliverance. No, but the obedience to that law, and that was to be in a way of gratitude. But that day of Pentecost, that was a day also that looked not only back, but it looked forward, because it was also a harvest feast day, that is, of the Feast of Weeks. That is when the first fruits of that harvest have been brought in, that there was an acknowledging of those first fruits, that those first fruits were from the Lord. And not only an acknowledging of them, but also an anticipation that if the Lord, he has given the beginning of that harvest, then the Lord has in that way shown unto them that he is going to continue that harvest, that he is going to give them that full harvest. Thus, that was all a foreshadowing. That was a foreshadowing of that future day of Pentecost. That is what we read here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that law that was given to the children of Israel 50 days after their departure from Egypt. On this day, then, this is 50 days after what? This is 50 days after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Thus, the Lord is drawing for us in that time, he is drawing for us a connection. That is, between the resurrection of Christ and the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. That is, that it was as a resurrection from the dead. That is in the first place. And now it is when this day of Pentecost is fully come, and that the Lord is going to institute that New Testament church, not of that Jewish nation, but now, because are gathered here, we have heard together, there are men from every nation under heaven. Thus, the Lord says that my people and the drawing of my people that is going to be not only from that one nation of the Jews, but it is going to be from every nation under heaven. And now the Lord gives in the third place that there is a first fruits. Then we hope to hear how that the Lord, he is gathering the very beginning of that harvest. That is a small part, the first part, although it was many people. How many boys and girls? 3,000 people. Although that was many people, it will be a very small part of that which the Lord is promising to give. That is, that it will be a multitude that no man can number. Oh, do you ask that you also may be one of that great multitude that are gathered by that Spirit of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit revealed on the day of Pentecost. What is congregation greater than the power over death? Because Solomon, he says that that power is of death is so strong that there is no man that has power over his spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Israel had no power in the land of Egypt. There was to them a death. That was the death of their nation. Why the death of their nation? That was the intent of Satan. That was the intent of Pharaoh, that that nation would be destroyed. And therefore, all those male boys, they had to be thrown into that river. But Israel, when they were powerless under it, they have experienced the great power of the Lord over that death. That is the power of the Lord in nature to bring the plagues upon Egypt. And then we see finally the power of the Lord to divide that sea for a deliverance of the church and at the same time for the destruction of that enemy. And then 50 days later, and then the children of Israel are seeing also the signs of that power, because they are coming before that Mount Sinai, and there we read that that mountain that is all in a smoke, that there is an earthquake, and that they can feel something of that power of the Lord. How was it in the day of the resurrection of Christ? Well, then there was a power that was experienced there that you and I have never seen in our life. Did you ever see one of the graves opened and that a man should rise from the dead, that he should come out of his grave? That it was the power that was now revealed in the day of the resurrection of Christ. And now 50 days later, then we see also the signs. The signs of that power on the day of Pentecost. But those signs, they have such a different effect. Why? Paul, in Hebrews 12, he says that you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. You are not come unto that mount that trembled, that mount that smoked, that was on fire. And you are not come to that voice of the trumpet and to those sound of words, of which that people that heard them, they besought the Lord that they would not hear that voice of the Lord anymore. So fearful were they at the signs of the power of the Lord. But Paul says, you are not come unto that mount that might be touched. And now we see that. On that day of Pentecost, When the signs of the power of the Lord, they are also present among those disciples and among the people. What did they do then? Did they ask, O Lord, do not speak to us? Did they ask the Lord to take away the signs of that power? No. But they may stand there and they may experience that power from above. Thus, they have that power that is no longer a power that was for the destruction of the people. Arminius, he says that the common power of the Holy Spirit is sufficient for us. That power that the Lord gives by His Spirit to every man in the world, that is enough that we may, as it were, raise ourselves from the dead. There is a church that says no, because they experience that power that is in a common way given to every man, that is not a power that is sufficient for them for that true conversion. And therefore, they are looking for a different power, a special power. And that is why the church that is so glad with those signs. The signs of the power of the Lord at the day of Pentecost. Why? Because they are speaking not of a common power, but those signs, they are speaking about the special power of the Lord. They are speaking about the special power of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. What were those signs? The first one that is written in our text. That is the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Thus, what kind of a sign is that? That is a sound, we would say, of a hurricane, the sound of a tornado. And that tornado, that is a rushing mighty wind before which no man in that whole world is able to stand. We can read of Job, and that there came such a wind from the wilderness, and it has smitten the four corners of the house, as so that all his children were taken away. And we can read of them also in a natural way. Then there is congregation, no man that is able to resist, no man that is able to stand against that wind. And therefore there is such a fear often. And when that sound would be heard, the Lord sends that sound in the midst of this company of people. And that sound is in itself a representation. It is a representation of the power of the Holy Spirit that was to accompany that sound. That is, that the Lord says, that Spirit that is so irresistible, even as that tornado, as that mighty wind, oh, Arminius, he is so wrong. So wrong. And when he says that a man is able to resist the Spirit of the Lord, thus we have the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And we have heard together, then there was also a fire. Fire that is also a symbol of power. And our firemen in our midst, they will know the power of that fire. Because that fire, when it begins to rage, that is something that is that a man feels himself to be so helpless against. Oh, then they are not able to do that alone. No, then they receive much training. And then there is much effort in order to put that fire out. And sometimes that they even say, well, we'd have just to let that fire burn, that it burns itself away. Thus, the power. In that fire, there was also light. And when we would ask Saul of Tarsus what that power of light is, then he will be able to tell us. When the Lord will shine, and when he will begin to illuminate what is within our heart, and to give us a view of our wretchedness, of our sin, then we will know something of that power of light. As that man born blind, oh, what is now the difference between darkness and light? And he will be able to tell you something of the power of that light. We read also of the shape of those fires. They are children, what? Those fires, they were little fires. And they are in the shape of a cloven tongue. Thus the Lord shows wherein that power is going to be. He says that power that is going to be experienced in the tongue. Do you know what James says about the tongue? He says the tongue is a fire. That is a fire that is set on it is set on fire of hell. Or is our tongue such a fire? But this fire, this power that will be experienced in the tongues of men, that will be experienced in such a different way. But there is going to be power in the voice. Does that mean that that voice is going to be a very loud voice? Do you know what we read of Elijah? We read that there was a still, small voice. And that voice that had more power than the earthquake, more power than the wind, and more power than the fire. Or do you know something? Now, of the power of that voice, wherein the Lord is coming to speak to a soul, we read of something else, that those tongues, they were cloven, they were split. And we hear of the experience of that power. Then those disciples, they begin to speak, we read, with other tongues. What is now the power? Well, that was, of course, they had not to learn it. But there is so much more in it, because that was a power against everything that stood in the way. And why was there, and what was in the way? That was, of course, that was that the people, they did not understand that language. And why not? That was because of Babel. Thus, that sin of Babel that was standing in the way of the deliverance of souls, that is over the length and breadth of the whole world. Thus it is that that Babel that was, as it were, death unto the world, condemnation unto the world, when they could not understand that message of the apostles. And what does the Lord say when he has cloven those tongues? Then he says that my power that is greater than everything that can stand in the way, my power that is greater than your sin, my power that is greater than all the devices of the devil. Is there something, congregation, you say stands in the way? That you say for me that it is so impossible? Then when the Lord has cloven those tongues, the Lord says that my power that is greater than everything that is able to stand in your way. Why did the Lord give those signs? Does he give those signs today? No, but it was a special time. It was a time of the beginning of that church of God. It was a time when the word of God was not yet complete. And those apostles, they must go out. And those apostles, they are but weak men. And now the Lord leaves an impression among that people. Because we read now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Thus there is an impression among that people. The same as the Lord Jesus, he performed miracles in that time, that people, they may believe. But that was also a confirmation for those disciples. Why? Because they were without power. And they knew they were without power. Do you remember what happened? They were able, we read, to cast out devils. And they rejoiced in it. They came back to the Lord Jesus. And then what happened? Then we read of that lunatic. And then they are speaking. And they are using the name also of the Lord Jesus. And nothing happens. Nothing. And their mouth, that is what? That is closed against all the mockery of that enemy. Thus, those disciples, they knew, they felt, they understood that they could not go forth without that power of that Holy Spirit. Those signs, they come suddenly. We read, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. You say, how can that be sudden? They were waiting for it. They were looking for it. They were expecting it. It was promised by the Lord. And yet the Bible says it was suddenly. Is that not the way it is, people of the Lord? Though you wait for it, though you long for it, though it is promised unto you, that the Lord, he does it so suddenly in his life, in your life, that is, that the power of the Lord that is coming in such an unexpected way, time and time again. And not only so, but we see more in our second thought in the power of their preaching. Why? Because we read that they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is giving unto those disciples utterance. We read the apostle says that they may speak boldly as they ought to speak. Because the speaking of God's servants, that ought to be in a bold way, that ought to be in a way of great assurance because of the truth of that holy word of God, which is not questionable, but which is certainly coming to pass. And then they are beginning to speak. And what do we read? That they are speaking of the wonderful works of God. O congregation, is that not a powerful preaching? When a man may preach of the wonderful works of God, maybe you wonder, young people, when you hear about the wonderful works of men, when you hear about the new technology and all the things that man is now able to do, then the world goes wondering after, well, they say the seven wonders of the world, after the buildings, after the statues, after all the feats that man can do, that he is able to land himself on the moon, and then the sites, they are further and further away. All that man is going to do, the wonderful works of men, then men, they are wondering at them. And we would say that is in a certain way a powerful thing. But now they begin to speak about the wonderful works of God. O congregation, what a preaching. When they will begin to speak how that a dead soul can become alive. How now does that compare, young people, to all the wonderful works of men? Can a man figure out now how to raise a man from the dead? Or when we will begin to speak about how that a lost soul can be found again. Or when they will begin to speak how that the offended justice of a holy and a righteous God can be put to rest, can be satisfied. Or when they will begin to speak how a sinful man may be reconciled unto a holy and a righteous God. Or is that not then the wonderful works of God? Or did you ever consider it to be such a great wonder that we have written in the Word of God how that the Lord is coming to reconcile a rebellious people unto himself again. That is, congregation, the powerful preaching by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. But we can read that Satan, when that preaching begins, he is so busy already. Because the Spirit of the Lord, he has come there among the people, But when that Spirit of the Lord is, then Satan is coming also there. Because we read here that they were all amazed and they were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Thus, what does Satan do? Then he begins to sow doubt. Doubt. Where does that live? That lives in the heart, that lives in the mind. We cannot see that, what is in your mind. O congregation, how many times are there maybe doubts? Doubts. Doubts of the wonderful works of God. Or maybe there are doubts of God Himself. Maybe there are doubts sometimes even of the existence of the Lord. So Satan, he is coming. And when Satan is given permission, then Satan is also even going further. Because then we read some begin to mock. They begin to mock with those wonderful works of God. Oh, how Satan will have the world mock when there is an experience of that power of the Lord in the life of a man. Bunyan wrote of that wife, of those children. They are mocking when that father cannot sleep at night. They are mocking at his fears. They are mocking at the power that is experienced by that man. They are mocking when that man, he says, "I have to die and I have to appear before God. And I cannot die and I do not dare to appear before him." Oh, do you ever mock, young people? Maybe. Maybe. Oh, never mock, children. Be careful when you may see something of those wondrous works of God. Those disciples, they receive power. They receive power in the defense of the truth that is so necessary for God's servants. That they receive that power. Because then those disciples receive boldness and they are able to stand up and they are able to say, "No, that is not the truth. These men are not full of new wine." Oh, then those disciples, they are receiving light. They are receiving understanding so that they are able not only to come against that enemy, but also to give an explanation that they are able to enter into the prophecy. That is, that they can say, as we read, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Thus, that explanation that may be not only for the rebuke, but that also may be for the drawing of the people, that they may see the truth of it. We read that those disciples, they receive also power in their accusations. That is, to lay the blame where that blame lies. Do you know what they say? They say, "You, ye by wicked hands, have crucified and slain." Thus they are putting their finger on the sore. And they are not afraid. No, they receive a holy boldness by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And congregation, what is the fruit of that? Because what does a man do by nature? Or what do? We rebel. We can read of the Lord Jesus, he did that too. In Nazareth. And then the Lord Jesus, he says, "You will not receive me." He says, because a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and in his own house. And those people, they were so angry. We read, they were filled with wrath. And they brought him to the top of a hill. They were going to throw him down headlong. You would think these people, they are going to stone Peter. They are going to stone those apostles. When they say, your hands, they are filled with blood. It does not happen. Let us sing first. 368. 368, and for time's sake, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 2. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O, let this house be thy abode forever with thy presence blessed. We should sing also 5, 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 368. Our last thought, a powerful effect. And what do we read? We read in the first place of a very powerful conviction. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What does that mean? That means to be pierced. To be pierced in our heart. That means that they had pain in their heart. And that is especially as a pain because of sorrow in their heart. Congregation, we cannot see in each other's hearts. Much less can we prick the hearts of one another. And much less can we prick even our own heart. That is not the work of a minister. That is not the work of a person. Oh, do you say, if only now I could prick my own heart. Oh, if only I could weep one tear. If I only could have one desire that went truly after the Lord. Oh, if only I could live for one moment to His honor and to His glory. Oh, there is a people, they say it is so, so impossible. Then they say that is a power. Oh, what a powerful effect when there is a pricking of the heart. But congregation, is that now not the promise of the Lord Jesus? Because when the Lord Jesus, He had sent those disciples out and He spoke about them, spoke to them about the future, then He did not say that you have to prick the heart of that people. But He said that He was going to send that comforter. Oh, and He was going to do what? He was going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, did the Lord ever reprove you of one sin? Because then our heart is pricked. Then in our heart there is a piercing. Then there is pain. Then there is sorrow. That is the effect, congregation, the first effect of that new birth, which our fathers say that God works in us without our aid. And they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Congregation, what an effect. What an effect. Such a question. If the Lord has ever pricked us in our heart, then we are going to ask this question. Then we are going to say, O Lord, what shall I do? Than we want to do, than we have a desire to do. No, then it is not any more that we have a desire to do in the world, but then we have a desire to do something else. And what is that? Oh, if I only could do, if I only could redo, if I only could undo. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. If I could only take that out of the way, oh, be so careful, young people, because be sure your sins will find you out. They find us all out. And if the Lord will prick you in your heart, oh, then you will say, oh, Lord, what can I do now? Oh, what shall I do to make it right again? What shall I do to take away that sin, that iniquity, everything that is lying in the way? But they do not know what to do. Oh, the Lord makes them ignorant. Ignorant. Do you think you know how the Lord converts His people? If the Lord will convert you, you will not know it anymore. You will know it for your neighbor, but you will not know it for yourself. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you know what we just heard? When we heard this read, what kind of men were they? They were devout men. They were religious men. What was all the religion to them now? When the Lord will prick us in our heart, oh, then all our religion, that all comes to nothing in one moment. When the Lord will prick us in our heart, then we come in the dust of self-abasement. Then we want to learn. Oh, then we are not too high for the lowest person in this world to say to them, now can you help me? Can you tell me now what I must do? Then there is a new will. Then there is a new desire. Then there is a new love. Then there is a new longing. Then there is a new grief. Then there is a new sorrow. Then there are new cries. Then there are new sighs. And was it one? It was 3,000. Is that not power? 3,000. How many are we? 300. 10 times as many. All together. Oh, that conviction and crying out, what a wonder that must have been unto those disciples. And now what do such people need? What do such people need who are pricked in the heart and for whom that pricking is more than notion? Then they need a powerful consolation. Oh, those apostles, they not only receive power that they can refute the devices of that enemy, but they receive that power and that wisdom from above to lead the sheep of God. The broken and the contrite heart and spirit, what do they say? Repent. Repent. That is those disciples. They are led into by the Lord. How it is that the Lord will deliver his people. And congregation, there is no way outside of the way of repentance. Because godly sorrow, Paul says, that worketh a repentance not to be repented of. And those disciples, they were called to preach repentance unto salvation. Repent. That was so good for that people to hear that word, repent. Why? Because do you know what those apostles, they did not say? They did not say, it is too late. They did not say, it is lost. And that was for those people a great wonder. And yet, Peter does not stop there. No, he continues. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You say, Peter, you must wait. You must wait until you may see now that the people have repented. Because once that people have repented, then you may speak to them of the Lord Jesus. Is that so? People of the Lord, how many sins have you conquered in order that you may come to the footstool of Christ? How many sins have you conquered before you came there? I dare say, not one. Repentance, the way of repentance, congregation, is the only way. But the disciples. Peter, he says that to come onto the footstool of Christ, that is now the solution. He says, be baptized in the name of Christ, the Lord Jesus, for something. What is that something? He says, for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. Yes, it is in the way of repentance, but did you ever see that there is only one way, and that is, I need to be forgiven. I need to be forgiven. Because if I am not forgiven, then congregation, it is hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Then I cannot conquer sin. And then all that way of repentance that cannot bring me into that blessed communion with God. And now, those disciples, Peter, he may speak of the freeness, that he says, be baptized, be washed, be cleansed. In order to the complete removal of all your iniquity. And what do we read of that people? We read they were so glad. So glad. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Oh, what a powerful, powerful consolation to that people who were lying under the conviction of sin. That it was so free. So free. Then there was a liberating power. Then there was a freeing power to deliver from what? To deliver from the law. Oh, to deliver from the curse of the law. To deliver from a broken covenant. A power to bring them into the blessed covenant of grace. That people, they may be so glad and they may receive the freedom then to partake of that sacrament of the Lord and to be baptized. We are running out of time. Congregation, did that power cease there? No. We read something else. We read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and of prayers. People of the Lord, they continued. And now I ask you, if that is not power, if that is not power, because you say it is a wonder that the Lord ever came and that there was ever a beginning, it will be a greater wonder if it will continue. It will be the greatest wonder if he will bring it to the end. Oh, the power that we may read of on this day of Pentecost. And finally, we read also of the power of the fruits, because we read, and they that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And congregation, we see the power of the Lord in what? In that self-denial. We do not do that. And not only in that self-denial, but there was a despising of the world. Oh, to distribute all my goods to the poor. Why? Because they have received heavenly gifts. Blood on their hands. A full and a free remission. And then congregation, then the world. And all the goods of this world. Then we can distribute them all. And give them out to everyone. As he has need, we have to close. Oh, that the Lord may give that spirit of Pentecost, a desire for it. Do we need power? Do we desire power? Or is our religion, is our form, our custom, is that enough? That cannot bring us into that blessed communion. We hope in this afternoon, if all is well, to speak a little more. But may the Lord bless his own word for his own sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot do without that power of thy Holy Spirit. And we ask of thee, when there is no desire to give that desire, and when there are those in our midst who cannot miss that power, that their cry may go out to thee, that they may say, Lord, thou art now the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And here I sit in my wretchedness. And here I sit in my misery. And here I sit in my death state. Lord, convert me. Bring us safely to our places. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362. 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 362. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.